So Thomas, thank you for spending time with us. You had a conversation with Bruce and Olin recently, and there was a piece in that conversation where you talked about shadow work in the context of evolutionary forms of spirituality. It seems to me there's often a lot of teachings that are about the shadow, the unconscious, the parts we're afraid to go towards, but they're not necessarily in a framework of evolution. And then there might be other teachings that have a strong sense of evolution or the impulse of the future, but don't include an element of the shadow. Mm. And what I heard in what you were saying there, and it was just a small piece of a much larger conversation, and I was hoping maybe you would now take that piece and deepen the thread or unpack it, is what I heard was a kind of movement towards a reconciliation or a way of the integration of shadow within an evolutionary context. And I was wondering if you might give us a sense of how you see that happening and what that means and so on.
So first of all, people talk about evolution, and I think the nature of evolution is that we need to understand that the mystical traditions look at evolution as energy and structure create together an itself updating movement. So in the spiritual tradition, the more we go into deeper areas of or more profound levels of life, we become more energetic. So there's more free energy. So a person is a structure, and the person is identified with the structure of consciousness, the body sensations, the emotions, the thoughts, the society structures around us. They are incorporated in my sense of self, and I'm identified with this. So Thomas is this, or Chris is this. The more you wake up, the less you are actually identified and bound to one perspective, one individual, one structure, but you can include and transcend. So include more structures and transcend them. Include and transcend. So the more you do it, you actually, in the more and more perspectives live inside you as a bigger space, and therefore you are more, your radius of awareness is higher. So when there is a lot of energy, when we become more free energy, we're actually not anymore so bound to one perspective. So we can hold the space for many perspectives at the same time, and also many possibilities of reality at the same time. And when we enter the mystical traditions, we see that we align ourselves more with the creation impulse of the universe. So once something is created, it's moving. So in order to understand evolution, we need to understand that one, so if you say the non-dual realization is the competency of silence and the competency of movement as one, or as not two. So when we understand that intelligence is a movement that is already moving, everybody who is born is already moving, and the potential and the intelligence in there is already in movement. So evolution is always an update in the given movement. So energy is a very high movement, structure is a crystallized movement and therefore reduced. So the universe needs to reduce its intelligence on one level in order to give birth to a physical universe. Everything that is already crystallized has a lower movement than the divine intelligence, which would be unreduced movement, pure intelligence. And so when the whole lifetime that we live as a human being, we actually live in the tension between the gravity and the magnetism of the structure and eros, or the driving force of the universe, the creativity of the universe. So they are always in a relation. And so if we live a healthy and aligned life, then the update of life comes whenever it's necessary. Most of the people, because we identify too much with the structure, want to stay safe in the structure, hold on to it. So, and then the agent of evolution comes, knocks at your door, you open, they say, move, and you close the door because you like your sofa. You know, but you need to move out of this house now. But you say, no, I like this house, I like this life, I like this relationship, I like this job, I like this. But something in you tells you, move. In the moment you don't hear this voice inside you or this feeling that it's time to change, you create tension. And from this day on, more and more and more tension will build up. Eros will call you and the gravity will stay here. And this is when in our bodies, in our emotions, in our thoughts, we build up tension. In our interpersonal connections, there's more tension because we are less satisfied and less in our flow. So then we bring this understanding back, so then evolution, so everything that's moving needs to fulfill its purpose. Like if you take a football and you kick it, it has a certain movement and it will finish its movement. If it crashes against the wall, it will transmit some of its energy to the wall and finish its movement somewhere else, but it needs to finish its movement. Every life is the same. Once we are born, we are moving. And the ball needs to roll until it stops rolling. So the core intelligence of every human being is movement in action. Essence, the essence is movement in action. Every reflection about the essence is not essential because essence is an online creation. So when we see this, then we see that in the life of individuals, there is a part of this movement that can develop into its highest ability that is possible for now. But there are sometimes parts of our lives, for example, someone that is very skilled as a piano player but never got the possibility to have a piano and play. So that this talent, this intelligence, is actually stuck in the circumstances and cannot move. So it will stay on a very early developmental stage of the intelligence because it has no possibility to interact with the world and to learn and to grow. Or the sexual energy of someone. If it stays stuck in a very early age, it has no possibility to continue its movement. So what this means, some people think, okay, evolution is when we look into the evolutionary impulse and we are always on the leading edge. But I believe that in the moment you know that in every energy that is stuck in a circular movement because it couldn't fulfill its purpose, there's a spark of this alignment is also living in this contraction that we call the shadow. So we actually collect the dollars of the lower levels in the building by connecting to it, releasing it from its contraction through, most of the time, through human connection. Because if this intelligence can relate to the world, get the feedback and continue its growth, then we will evolve the intelligence that is much younger than the human being is now. So a shadow is always an intelligence that is younger than the human being in his age now or in her age. So, but people will experience the shadow areas as problematic or challenging because this intelligence that cannot fulfill its movement will constantly call you. Hello, 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 hello. So this is what energy needs to do, because the energy needs to, in a certain level, needs to fulfill its movement. And it will call, and if it's 1 year, 100 years, 1,000 years, it will call until the time that it will be released, fulfill its movement, and disappear into nothing. Because energy is being born, fulfills a purpose, and disappears again in potentiality. And something else will be born, and this goes on forever. So life is a constant movement, and every movement that cannot do what it's supposed to do will call. And how does it call? It calls through body sensations, feelings, and thoughts that don't fit into the given moment. So some people sit in a business meeting, and they talk, but then a very strange fear comes into the meeting and constantly knocks at your door. It calls you on your mobile, you know? And you always your mobile is calling, but you say, so I cannot talk, I have a business meeting. And then the fear comes, and it might influence your decisions. But it is not it's nothing to do with your present state, with your potential in a given situation. It's a movie on top of the main movie. So you see actually a movie on top of the real movie. which disturbs a bit the real movie. So you cannot anymore discern fully what belongs to here and what belongs to the past. So the past actually jumps on your screen and disturbs your desktop. You know, and you want to work, and suddenly you see this movement. And so the every movement that is trapped will create side effects. Like as if you put something in a box, you close it, but the box is constantly rattling, you know. It's like, so the shadow work, I believe, is a relational competency that we can give each other that will, through what we call transparent communication, will identify the symptoms and the origin. So we will not stay stuck with the symptoms, we will go to the origin of the contraction that holds this pearl, and we will learn to relate to the pearl in order to allow the movement, to facilitate the movement to continue what it anyway wants to do. Because I believe that every human being, the core intelligence, knows where it needs to go. It knows what its potential is. It knows what its biggest contribution to humanity is. So we don't need to tell it to the intelligence, we just need to give it the space that it can do whatever it wants to do. And so therefore I think that if we understand what evolution is in the energetic terms, then we see that collecting these sparks, these creative sparks, and this might be sexual sparks, social sparks, emotional sparks, intellectual sparks, but they are missing in society. Because if people come together, not only their potential synchronizes, but also their shadows synchronize. So if you see all people together, then you see a lot of potential, but you see dark spots where people synchronize through their shadows. And the culture shows the symptoms as well. So a financial crisis is actually also a crisis of the shadows that we bring all together in society. And therefore I think in order to create a stable house that can build another level and build another level and build another level, we need to collect this, otherwise our house will be shaky. Yeah.
Thank you. So this image of the light or the pearl, if I heard you, there's a way in which another person can see the light or the pearl, and somehow holding that light in view or seeing that pearl and calling to it, rather than getting lost in the symptoms, somehow brings it forward. Somehow the light then is released. So how is it that we can be that way for each other? How is it that we know? How can we know we're really seeing the pearl or the light versus maybe we're caught in our own issues?
How do you know that you can play the piano really well? So people who play the piano really well, they are very highly skilled. You know, there are people that thousands of people pay a lot of money to listen to them playing because they have a magic. And from the beginner up to this expertise, there is a kind of a spectrum. So when we start to just acknowledge that every human being radiates their whole information constantly into life. We are all like a radio station, and we are broadcasting our program constantly, 24 hours a day. So, and I think in our society, there are not enough learning places for spiritual intelligence and practice places or universities or places where you go to be highly skilled in these abilities. The abilities to navigate in a subtle world, in a world of information, in a world of energy, in a world of which is, I believe, the anatomy of reality is represented in an informational field. And we all have the ability, because we are human beings, to perceive, to feel, to see, to know this lens of information. So we are living in concrete bodies, but every body that my brain sees is actually a composition of many layers of information. All developmental layers left like a layer of information, like a volcano that gets harder and harder, but you see the different layers, how it, you see? And so when my brain sees a body as someone, it composed already a lot of information to a concrete object. And what we do now as a practice is we learn to look through this concrete object and reveal again the layers of information. So everybody's physical development left a layer. It's like a chapter in a book. The sexual and emotional development, the intellectual development, the social development, chapters of a book. And this book has a name. So everybody has a cosmic address, everybody has a book. And I call it always the website. So everybody has a website, you log into the website. When you have the web address, you see the website, and then you check, and there's a menu, there's written, physical development, sexual development, and then you just click what you need, and you read it, because it's there. We just need, like everybody needed to learn to read books, so why not learn, as an update, to read the field immediately? Why to read reflections about life? We can read life itself as a book. So the field of life, the whole life, and everybody in it, and every situation, every institution, every company, every state, the world, chapters in a book that is writing itself constantly online. It's a composition of billions of people that are writing one book online. And we are in it. We are the authors, but we are also the actors in the book. So by our lives, we are actually contributing to the writing, but we are also enjoying the writing. So we are reading and writing at the same time. So when I walk in life, actually I have all the knowledge of humanity is actually here. We just need to learn to read it. And I think this will be the update of the next level of systemic understanding, of transpersonal understanding, of communication. This will be the update of how we will create a real world-centric consciousness that we embody and we transmit. Not just that it's logically clear that a global consciousness is good, but something that I'm actually the globe. I am the field of the globe on one level of my being. This is what I am. I'm not just this, but this is also what I am. So information is here. And I think the leaders of the future will be people that can connect to the essential intelligence of a human being, of a system, whatever. Every system has an evolutionary drive inside, a creativity that drives it forward. And when we create communities, practice groups, that where we learn to tune, what I call tune in with each other, so that we will actually join each other's creative movement or intelligence. So I tune in with you, which means I join your movement. You tune in with me, you join my movement. This lifts us in a higher level of reality where creation forms itself to life. And so when we are tuned in, we create a high intensity. So when I'm present with you, you're present with me, I listen to what you say, you listen to what I say, I see what you hear, you see what I hear, it creates an enormous intensity. And this intensity helps us to transcend a certain level of separation, and we will meet in a taste of a transpersonal insight. So it's not just you and me as a person. There's space and two people happening, but we're both aware of the fact that there is space and two people happening. So the two people are just informational fields, and there's a bigger transpersonal awareness that we both realize. And this is the foundation of transparent communication. So I'm not just looking as an individual, I'm looking also as transpersonal spacious awareness and as an individual. But I already have the ability to include another perspective without interpreting it in my own world. Because my own world is programmed by thousands of years of humanity and is just a reflection of many, 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 many lives. But if I can look from higher than this, from a higher altitude, I will be able to just allow your perspective without the need to interpret this in my own limited perspective. So we both share space and still the individuality that feeds into this space. into a higher we. And so when we do this, through the intensity alone, we will see more. Because we will actually leave one level of political correct society, and we will really meet. And when people really meet, they see much more. They feel much more. They know much more. And this is the first step. And the second step, we will create a competency, a subtle reality competency, which means that if I am more and more integrated with less shadow parts in my own energy field, then I can see life more clearly. And I learn the ability, whenever we talk about a certain problem, I will learn to tune in with the layer where what we call the problem on the surface arises. So where the intelligence, one aspect of our intelligence, couldn't continue its development out of certain reasons. And we will find the place, the cosmic address of this intelligence. And through a human connection, there is again, for the first time, a feedback that invites this intelligence into a relation. So from a stuck contraction, which is like a bubble, in the energy field it looks like a bubble, from there we will connect to the intelligence in the bubble and actually help it to come out, relate, and when it relates it gets a feedback from the world, so there is a kind of a flow, and this allows this intelligence to continue its movement. And so people experience the parts that where the development couldn't be as mature as we are today, always as a kind of a hindrance, as a kind of a limitation, as a kind of a not being able to relate to life in the appropriate way. Because every unintegrated part is a circling energy with a contraction around and some symptoms around. So whenever life meets us there, it comes from the seemingly outside, it comes, it meets us there, and it creates a stress, plus some of the symptoms will jump onto our screen. So, and then I'm more busy with myself than I am with the situation, because I'm dealing with my symptoms, and this takes maybe 40% of my awareness, and I have only 60 left to deal with the situation. If there wouldn't be this vortex, I have 100% for the situation. So this is why people, when they are traumatized or when they experience certain parts of themselves as not grown up, then they will be constantly stressed when life meets them on this level where they need to respond from this place. And you cannot respond fully and you cannot see life fully because you have this vortex here and you constantly need to look through it. On this place, when somebody, for example, is afraid to speak in front of a large audience, every time they walk in front of the group, their body will shake, they will sweat, they will be afraid that they will forget what they want to say. So 50% of their awareness is just with this internal movie. A movie on top of the movie. So the main movie is a hall with 200 people, and the internal movie is a whole process to this. And then you walk on stage and you are like this. In the good way, you learned how to deal with this, and then it opens and you give your speech. In the other way, you will just deal with it and you will present a speech that will be smaller than your original potential is. And so what we can give each other is this relational competence and this competence to really feel and connect very precisely to the levels of development that we need to feel and experience, that the one who has the shadow cannot access by himself in a direct way. So we can lend each other eyes to see what we by ourselves don't see. Because where I have a shadow, most probably someone in the room will be clear. And as a practitioner community, we give each other the clarity, the intelligence, the presence, the empathy, the love to join our clarity and look with the joint clarity at the unclear parts of the group. Because someone in the group is more free in this place than maybe someone else. So there's a lot of support that we can give each other as a community of practitioners.
What I hear in that, I think, is very valuable. I hear a deep sense of compassion and a sense of of giving. So there is a way in which the relation, when you say the relation comes in to the origin itself, to the light, to the pearl that's hidden now. The one who is giving that relation, I think, it sounds like there's a great deal of empathy and love coming from that person, which would help perhaps to give a person the strength or the courage to let go and to allow themselves to be seen, to be felt, to be touched in that place.
Right. The vulnerability opens up.
And another factor, in the next level of emergence of human consciousness, I believe we will realize that we are not as separate as we think we are. What this means is, if there is a group in a room, and we all join our awareness, presence, empathy, compassion, love, vulnerability, clarity, so we create actually a field of seeing and awareness. And actually in the next level of development we will see that it doesn't matter so much who sees it, because life sees it. You know, seeing is not something that is just limited on one viewpoint. In a separate version of development, it might look like this. All the one-on-one therapies that emerged in the beginning of psychology and psychotherapy are based also on this. And the more progressive ones realize, okay, but the therapist and the client, they are not so separate as it looks like. So there are two movements that join the path. And there is one field of presence in which they both happen. So when you can be present with me, and you can be the feeling awareness to parts of my body-mind that don't show up in my awake consciousness, because I pulled out the sensitivity and I suppressed the tension into my unconscious area. So for me, when I look there inside myself, at the first place there is nothing, or there is tension, or any kind of symptom. But if you can see this in me, this place, and your energy field starts to touch me, flow into, like resonate with my energy, then this part in me will also knock inside myself on the door much more strongly. So your feeling awareness actually joins my feeling awareness, and even if it's blocked in this area, you help me to create a resonance that will pull the content from the unconscious into the conscious part of myself. I start seeing this myself, feeling awareness will be triggered into this. My body-mind in this area will fill with more light, which means more conscious awareness. And your light actually helped my light to come back into this place of my body in order to be aware of whatever it is. So some people suppress aggression and then they just feel it as a tension in the body, but they don't feel the feeling. They have back pain, they have all kind of stuff, but they don't feel the aggression. So if you can feel the aggression in me, and you can hold this vibration with your energy, I will be invited more and more strongly to feel this place. And the second thing is, when you see that I go down in my body to feel my tension in my back, and first of all you can see and feel if I do it, because some people say, oh, I feel it, and you see that they don't feel it. So they think about feeling it, but they don't feel it. So then you can invite them there. Mm-hmm. But once people go into their back and they feel their back, sometimes they feel it in a different vibration. You know, like a radio station. The radio program is 88.5, and they are feeling it on 100.3. And 100.3 in your radio, there is no broadcast of news. You know, but if you turn down the tuner of your receiver, suddenly you have 88.5, you hear the program. And with the back pain is the same. So feeling is a science that includes all developmental stages of life. And we need to learn the science of feeling in order to reveal the unconscious parts in our body minds and in different levels of development. So some people feel their back and nothing happens. Then you tell me, oh, what is if you feel a bit more like this? Mm-hmm. So you help me to tune my feeling, and in the moment I hit the right vibration, the whole anger that is stored in my back will suddenly appear in my reality. I will experience this. I will learn to relate it with you, because it can stay. People often use that they are isolated with anger and therefore they suppress it. So then I will learn to contain it and to relate it to the world in a healthy way. I will make a different experience. Not when I am angry I will get beaten up. When I am angry there is somebody that stays with me and can receive me. So when you can receive me when I am angry and you can be space for me, I make a total different experience, which rewires my own being, and the negativity that I might put on anger will be transformed into, oh wow, I can set a clear border and the other one doesn't run away. Mm-hmm. You know, anger doesn't mean the loss of love. Anger means just power, clarity, expression. Mm-hmm. So my anger that I held for many years might be experienced as a power to have a word to say in the world. And the world doesn't run away when I'm angry. So the world doesn't tell me, I will not love you if you are too loud. I will not love you if you are angry. So you will feel loved by someone that is space and information. By someone that is attuned with you, and therefore you get the feeling that someone is really with you. Because you are not staying separate. If you are attuned with me, you are not staying separate. You are actually in me and I am in you. You know, you enter my perspective, I enter your perspective, which creates a high level of intimacy. And I think this is the way that we, on the beginning, it's something that for people that are more professional, but I think later on, I believe that this will become a cultural ability, that this is the way how we live, this is the way how we communicate, this is the way how we support each other. Because I'm interested in your highest light, and you're interested in my highest light, and we will give everything to support this.
You've mentioned a great deal there in two individuals, and the individuals coming to one to hold space and the other to have their light come out that had been previously trapped. You also mentioned at various points though that there can be individual contraction, but also a way, a kind of cultural contraction or a social contraction, like you mentioned the financial crisis. Or is there a way in which groups can hold space to release the light that is somehow collectively unconscious?
Definitely. A group of people will be a joint. As I said, if we practice this, we are a space together. We are an intelligence together. Mm-hmm. It still consists out of individuals that mm-hmm. participate.
But the participation creates actually a higher space of we. So this space of we can actually hold a space for whatever. This space of we has no other, no they, them out there, you know. A higher we is a kind of a space that can contain structures in consciousness, and collective structures in consciousness are equally part of it. So if a group uses the space competency, the competence of silence, more space, internal space, and the competence of movement, the attunement to the collective shadow structure in society, so we all can learn to be space and to be precisely attuned to this structure in the collective consciousness that we call the shadow, that is suppressed by millions of people, and therefore it's resting somewhere in the collective unconscious. And when we touch it, it's very powerful because it's charged by a lot of people. So when we create a big group of people and we connect to this structure, so then this structure starts to arise through us in the awaken or in the wakeful consciousness of humanity. And from there we can take it further, because every energy that, of course, it will always go together with a discomfort, because everything that's suppressed is related to a discomfort, otherwise it wouldn't be suppressed, because people tend to like comfort more than discomfort. So everything that's uncomfortable, we try to run away from it. When we wake up more, we see we cannot live a life to run away from the discomfort. So we need to have a deeper commitment to life, which means I'm here. It's my first priority. And if life is comfortable or uncomfortable, this is not anymore my priority, to jump just on the one side. And if I do this, then I know every process of change and every integration of a fixation, a spiritual fixation or a shadow, will be there will be a certain amount of discomfort. But if I'm willing to have it, this is freedom. If you're not anymore afraid of the discomfort of your life, you're free. You're free, because you're not running away from situations, from circumstances, from life. You know you're here. And if there's a lot of shame, if there's a lot of anger, if there's a lot of sadness, a fear, this is what it is, and I'm here. This is my deeper commitment. And from there we will start to collect the dollars, because we are not anymore afraid to go to the basement of our house, because it might be spooky. Even if it's spooky, I'm here. And you know, I made a decision, I'm here. And it doesn't matter what I will find in the basement. It doesn't matter what I will find in the basement of humanity. So then, these are people, and you saw it, some saints or sages, they showed this to us. There were some people around that were not afraid to go to the poorest, to the darkest places of humanity. And because they were so connected, their light was shining through it. You know, people went into the worst circumstances because they felt a calling. It's not for everybody, but for the people that feel this, they need to be there and shine a light into the darkest places of humanity. And if you're not afraid from the discomfort, you're free. You're free to walk wherever in the stage of life. And you will go there where your calling takes you. You know, if your calling takes you to the most pleasures, this is where you go. And if it takes you to the darkest places, this is where you go, because you know your commitment is to something deeper. And when we have this, then we will create a society that will also take care of the collective shadow parts, because we know they will influence millions of people. If we don't take care of it consciously, generations will have the symptoms. So actually, in a more evolved society, we know that taking care of shadow aspects that are collective structures is very important. It's a hygiene for our marketplace. So it's a calling. We are taking care of something that is our life base. Same as we do environmental work, we do also another environmental work. Taking care of collective shadows is ecology. It's inner ecology. Because it clears the landscape and the nature of the subtle realm. And that you feel it. Sometimes you come in a room and you have the feeling, oh, it's so sticky, it's stuck, something. You know, the subtle energy field of the room is somehow stuck. Then you come to another room, it's open, it's light, you can breathe, you know, you feel uplifted. You go sometimes to a cathedral and it lifts you up. Why? Because there's a lot of light and the field is very open. And the same is with our cities, the same is with the collective perceptive body of humanity. So when in Berlin something happened that was very, very dark or very, very cruel, so when people travel to Berlin or to any other city on the planet, you come in and you feel it. You feel the collective memory of what happened on this place. And the collective memory is only a memory because it's unresolved energy. There is only past. When there is past, then there is an unresolved energy. If the energy fulfilled its cycle, it disappears in nothing. And it's gone. It will not cross my presence and disturb my moment. You know, unresolved energy will disturb my moment. I go to Berlin and I feel the atrocities of the past. Once humanity made a step and integrated this shadow, you go to Berlin and that's it, you go to Berlin. But humanity learned something from this. We got a developmental jump out of this shadow. And I think this we will get through many shadows on many places on the planet. And if we take care of them, we will actually have a collective learning. So if a collective shadow will be integrated successfully, millions of people will get something in this moment. Like millions of people have a learning experience. Zack! This is how it works. And it doesn't mean that they need to be connected to the shadow work. Everybody who participates in this will have a release in the moment when it will be released. because therapy will not stay on one-on-one. Our healing capacity and integration capacity will go to bigger and bigger structures of humanity. So, and there will be a speeding up of the collective learning process, because we will learn not as individuals, but as fields. You know, and then millions of people get at the same time an insight. And this means someone took care of a structure, of a shadow, and in the moment it releases, it zack.
So as we're coming to the end then, Thomas, thank you. It's very inspiring, and I really love the call to the commitment to be here. Mm. And that I will be here regardless of circumstances and how they may appear or feel. Are there any last words you'd like to say?
Just that I think it's an amazing trip, and if you really take awakening seriously, if you don't talk about it like a hobby or something like that, we also go to the cinema, so we also go to a workshop. If I really take it seriously and I place myself in the bus of awakening, which means the bus line where you enter and the seat in the bus, there's written relationship, there's written career, there's written all kinds of stuff, but you know it's a seat in the bus. You know where you're going to. You're going to here. And so if you commit to this bus line, life becomes an amazing adventure. And if we really go beyond comfort and discomfort, which is a deep, deep realization, for many people, the main motivation that drives them is to surpass the discomfort of their lives. They do everything not to have this. But then you live such a small life, because 50% of life cannot come to you. But if in the moment you open to the stage of life, you know that every change is connected to a letting go of one structure in order to jump to the next. But the structure of outside and inside, they compose my feeling of self. So Thomas, as he knows himself, is composed by the outside and inside reality that we experience. So if somebody works for a long time in a job, the job becomes part of this feeling of self. It becomes a part of my habits. In the moment I change, I need to let go of this part in my wiring and in the outer reality, which always causes a discomfort. Letting go of an addiction causes a discomfort. But in the moment I know this, I see, wow, the science of change is actually that I need to invite this discomfort in order to be more fluid in my innovation. And in the moment you get what this means, it changes your life. So then you become a living, innovative force wherever you live, because you're not anymore afraid of change. You know change is the pleasure of the universe to create, and to create a structure, to enjoy it, and to let it go. And in the moment you're fluid in this, you can stay in places, you can leave places, and there is a fluidity in you. And I think that this is what we actually need in order to create a healthy, sustainable society. Not a society that will finally arrive somewhere where it's finally safe, but a society that will see that the safety is actually in the competence to move. Because this is the only place where you can rest, is in full movement. And this is a divine revelation.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank
it was
you,
beautiful.
Thank you.